I like it.
Open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Well, I'm going to praise His name.
Amen.
I will read the first 12 verses. Follow along with me. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles, and for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Let's pray. Father, you know all the hearts that are in this room. Lord, you know the needs of every single one of us. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would direct your word to bring glory to your name and blessing to your people. I pray, Lord, that you would touch any lost soul in the sound of my voice, that they would come to know you as Savior and Lord before it's everlastingly too late. And I ask you to give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at verse 5. You know, the basis of the gospel, the whole thing that we preach, the whole thing about the Bible is faith. Faith. And you know, he says right here, he makes several statements. He said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Now, Timothy has been bragged on by Paul several times. One time he says, I have no man like-minded. Nobody like this guy. He just naturally thinks of you. Do you that? You think that way? I don't naturally think of you. I, first of all, naturally think of me. Isn't that what most of our problems are? We just naturally think of me, myself, my problems, my difficulties, my needs, my wants. But he said Timothy is an unusual fellow. He said, I have no man like-minded who naturally will care for you. He just naturally does that. So he's got a real tremendous testimony. At least if the Apostle Paul gave that testimony to me, I'd be very proud. I'd be saying, oh boy, I'm somebody. He says here, unfeigned faith. Now, feigned faith would be faith that's put on. If you feign something, you're putting on an act. You're sort of acting like you got it when you really don't have it. But he said, no, I see unfeigned faith in you. When I call to remembrance this real stuff you've got, this unfeigned faith, and said, by the way, your mother had it. Paul knew his mother. And he said, you know, by the way, your grandmother had it. You know, it's a wonderful thing because faith is catching. And in fact, over in Romans chapter 1, it talks about going from faith to faith. Amen. You know how people get faith? They see faith in somebody else. Amen. That's the truth. You don't just come up and believe something. No, you see somebody else believing it. Have you ever thought about how in a gossip or in a tale that gets spread around, you see so many people believing it must be true. You sort of assume, if it's written up in the newspaper, must be true. Right? Not necessarily so. But we have a tendency to believe what other people believe. We have a tendency to believe what's written down. Now what he says here is that his grandmother had faith, his mother had faith, and that same kind of faith in Timothy. Bless your heart, pass it on. What's the old saying? Your actions speak so loud, I cannot hear what you say. Y'all talking about that? I'm teaching you Sunday school class this morning. Well, good truth can go anywhere, right? Your actions speak so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. What we're saying is, you don't live like you talk. And you ought to live like you talk. Now, it's a good thing to talk faith. It's a good thing to promote faith. It's a good thing to promote the Word of God. But you need to back it up with your life. You need to back it up with the way you live. And you know what gets caught by other people? What gets caught by our children, what gets caught by our friends and loved ones, is what we really are. You can say you're this, but in your home, how you live, everybody knows what you are. And especially your kids know what you are, your husband and wife. You know each other pretty well. He's talking about faith here, unfeigned faith. That's the kind you want. Now, what in the world do we need faith for? Well, the basis of everything we do is faith. It's faith. It's believing what God says about something. And what is faith? It's confidence in the Word of God. We go from faith to faith. I believe the promises of God, and therefore I say, okay, that's good, and I start to live by that, and I see another promise, and after a while, I've spent a life of a Christian life of living by certain things of faith, I begin to believe God. I begin, and Brother Trinidad was talking about suicide. You know, the thing about it is you give up. You think, it's over. It can't get any better. I can never work this out. And I remember the man, you've heard of a Learjet? The man Lear, I don't remember his initials or his first name, tried to commit suicide when he was 70 years old. He said, it's over. I can't do anymore. He had some reverses and everything went bad. He created the Learjet company after he was 70. That's something. Lived to be almost 90 years old, or somewhere around 90. And in those 20 years, he created Learjets after he tried to commit suicide and think everything's over. You don't know when it's over. And by faith, you learn to trust God. You need to trust God because you and I can't see tomorrow. We simply don't know what God's going to do and how God could use us. I've seen people that in hospital beds that were dying and in pain, but their faith was a testimony to those that were around them. And I've seen old people, their faith was a testimony to the young ones around them. And they say, well, good night. If that man lived that kind of a life, I ought to live a different kind of a life. I made the statement in Dale's funeral. And I made the statement, I said, you know, you may be avoiding God. You may be have not believed, have not done what you know to do right. And you may not even know whether anybody can do it. But if you know one real Christian, then that ought to erase all your doubts. It can be done. If one person can find God, if one person really knows God, then other people can know God too. Amen. Well, one of his grandsons been living wild and wicked. That thought of that testimony of his grandfather said, well, man, he's right. He went out and repented, got right, got baptized, and faithful serving the Lord. Because of the testimony of somebody else, faith goes to faith. And so what the grandmother really believed, she was a solid Christian, she had unfeigned faith. The daughter believed. And the daughter lived that kind of faith. And then her son, it doesn't say Paul led Timothy to the Lord. But I think he was his preacher boy. He taught him his preaching. And maybe that same faith from grandmother down to mother, down to son, that unfeigned faith was a tremendous blessing in your life. I consider faith one of the greatest things that God has ever given me. Now look, if you will, at verse 3. What else? For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What kind of a spirit? Well, faith. What kind of spirit? You know, we live so much of our life in fear. Not necessarily fear of getting killed. Not necessarily fear of a car wreck. We are afraid of what people think of us. We are afraid they'll ridicule us. We're afraid they'll make fun of us. Sometimes we don't give the testimony we ought to give, and we don't live the happy life we ought to live for fear of somebody's ridicule. Have you ever thought about it? I have, because I do it every once in a while. I make the statement sometime I've crossed a lot of bridges that I never got to. I spent all night long figuring out how I was going to cross that bridge. Got up the next morning, the bridge wasn't even there. And I've done that over and over again. I know some of you have done exactly the same thing. Now, fear is of human beings, and fear is of the devil. A born-again believer, believing the Word of God, fears not your spirit. What kind of a spirit did God give you? Power. Love. A sound mind. You know what the world thinks of us this morning? We're nuts. You people are nuts. You give your money. You're fanatics. You go to church, some of you, 3 times a week. Get a revival meeting, you got to go 20 times in a week. You're nuts. You know who's nuts? They are. They are. You know what you've got? A sound mind. You say, you actually believe in a heaven and a hell, the most reasonable thing I ever saw. Do you believe in God? That is the most reasonable statement I can make for everything I've seen. God. That's a simple statement. Do you realize the complexity of life? The complexity of this universe? And you're going to tell me that happened like an accident? Oh, come on. There has to be a super mind. There has to be a God. Nothing else makes any sense at all. Talk about a sound mind. What God has given you is a sound mind. You believe this book, you got a sound mind. You believe this book, you're going to know better how to raise your children, how to live your life, how to build your family, how to have a happy life. The more we get of the Word of God in our life, the more we see of it, the sounder our mind is. And you know, that's the spirit God has given us. Now what's the devil going to do? He's going to try to make you afraid. He's going to try to keep you from doing what you ought to do. He's going to try to keep you from believing. It says, Jesus is talking about when the sower sows the word into the hearts of the people, that the devil cometh and taketh the word out of their heart, so that they can't really be believed. The devil's in the business of making you doubt. The devil's in the business of making you fear. But God gives you the spirit of a sound mind. But that's something else he does. He says, of power. Power. Notice the people who live by faith in this book and the people you know who live by faith, they walk around with a confidence. It's what faith is. It's confidence. Power. The power of God upon your life to change your life, or that you can change others. Those guys that went down to Mexico as missionaries. Those guys over there in Poland. Those guys down in Brazil. All those people around the world. If they didn't believe God was going to change somebody's life, they'd never go. They go to give a witness. They go to see souls saved. They go to see somebody changed. They go to defeat the works of the devil. They go to please God. And that's because God's given them not the spirit of fear, but a power. Amen. And how about love? Amen. Anything any stronger than love? I'm not talking about the Hollywood kind of love. That's pretty good too. But real love. Love like God. Love like a real wholesome family love. Love like a normal mother for her child. Like a normal father for his son. Real love. Love like God has. That's what God brings. Faith, is it a blessing? Oh yes, because by faith you come to God. and the Spirit of God comes into you, and He doesn't bring you a spirit of fear. Now you ought to stand against the spirit of fear that's in you by faith. Amen. How do you remove the fear? By faith, by trusting God, by believing His Word. Now notice something else. Look at verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, Amen. Nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker. The Apostle Paul is in jail in Rome. As far as we know, the best scholars that study it, almost a consensus of opinion, this is the last book Paul ever wrote. His last opportunity to communicate with this young preacher that he loved and respected so much. His last writing, he's saying, don't be ashamed of the Lord. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. I would say to you today, this same thing applies to us. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Amen. Are you ashamed to carry your Bible? We shouldn't be. You got the greatest wisdom in the world right in your hand. You say, but wait a minute, they'll think I'm nuts. I was in a Christian college, Christian quotes, college. And they thought I was nuts because I carried my Bible everywhere and because I carried a King James. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who do you belong to? Who's your hero? I said, oh, Arnold Schwarzenegger, John Wayne. John Wayne for president. George Washington. My hero is Jesus Christ. Who's touched my life more? Who would I love to be able to emulate? Who do I want to lift up and magnify? Jesus Christ. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Then notice something else. Nor of me as prisoner. You want to go visit Paul? Got to go to the jail. Got to go out to his house arrest. You got to go out there where this guy is a prisoner. What do you think when they arrest a preacher? What do you think when they accuse a judge? What do you think when somebody brings an accusation against somebody supposed to be good, moral, or upright? We just automatically think bad. Well, here's a man in jail. Why is he in jail? Must have done something bad. Yeah, he did something so bad he preached the gospel and wouldn't kiss the toe of the Roman emperor. Yeah, he did something bad. Do you know, Paul seems to indicate that there were Christians that were ashamed of his chain. There were Christians that didn't visit him when he went to jail. They were Christians, didn't want to go down and be connected with him because he was in jail. You know, Lester Olof was in jail for a while. Sure was. Was he in jail for drunkenness? DWI? Was he in jail for stealing, killing? No. He was in jail for trying to help out drug addict kids. He was in jail for saying, I don't want your psychologist in here telling me how to do it. I've already got the Bible. That's why he was in jail. But think, how do you feel going down to the jail to visit old brother Lester Olof and they're looking at you, are you with this squirrely thing here? I mean, are you one of his disciples? He said, don't be ashamed of the Lord and don't be ashamed of me. And then he says something else. He said, be thou partaker. I think I'd say to us this morning, don't be ashamed of the Lord. And don't be ashamed of his saints. And why don't you become a partaker? Amen. Get in the fight. Amen. Somehow find a way to be part of the solution. Somehow find a way to be part of the witness. Not everybody can stand up and preach. Not everybody's going to go out on a street corner and stand the abuse that's there. Not everybody's going to knock on doors. Oh, but I tell you, we can all pray and we can all give. Amen. Everybody from a shoeshine boy and people on welfare to the richest in the room can give. Every single one of us can pray. Don't just be a spectator. Be a partaker. You have a part. The more part you can have, the better off. But what he's telling this young man right down to the end, he said, don't you be ashamed of the Lord. Don't you be ashamed of me, his prisoner. And you be a partaker with the saints of God. Another good verse, verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I love that verse. What a verse. What is the gospel? The gospel is that all of us have sinned, come short of the glory of God. We're needy people. This is where the gospel comes in. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and the third day he rose according to the scriptures. He's resurrected, and he's ascended, and he's coming back, and he offers life to all that will believe.
Amen.
That's the gospel. Christ died in your place, he paid your debt, and he'll give life to all that call upon him. That's the gospel. Now, what is that? Look back at verse 1. The promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. The promise of life. And look back at verse 10. Who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You know what we're celebrating here today? Life.
Amen.
You know what we see around us all the time? Death. Your dog dies. Cat dies, your child dies, your parents die, you're going to die. The biggest, most beautiful tree in your yard is going to die. And you're going to get old and die too. 18 years ago, I went out to a place in Kingsbury because a family asked me to visit their grandfather that didn't speak English. And so their father that didn't speak English from Guatemala. And I went out and witnessed to this man. He was 72. That's older than I am right now. And I know I'm old. I figured I got this guy on his deathbed. Boy, I better give him a witness right now because he doesn't have much time. He just died at 90. But with a testimony. Yeah. I gave him the gospel, and he believed the gospel, and he accepted the Lord. And do you know what I heard yesterday? I heard the testimony of three of his pastors about his faith. He wasn't ashamed of the Lord. He was at the church when the church doors opened. They loved to hear him pray. One pastor said, when I needed prayer, I went to him to pray for me. That's wonderful. You know what that is? That's life. That old man came up from Guatemala and God gave him life and immortality. Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? It's gone.
Amen.
In the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what we're preaching about? You know what we're praying about? You know what we're supporting? Life and immortality. By faith, we accepted Christ as our Savior because of the promises. Might just want to join another club. No, this isn't a very good club to join. It'll probably cost you some things to belong to this club. It's sort of not like the little workout group down here or the little psychological book reading club over here down here or Oprah's club. It's not the same. You're not going to get a lot of people bragging on you because they belong to this club. They're not going to give you accolades and whatever. No, no. I heard some promises. I heard the promise of life. I had a friend that died. And I said, man, he was my same age. I said, I could have died. That could have been, I was my truck, my run. They called me for the run. It got switched and changed. My friend took that run and died. And I said, 21-year-olds can die too. Till that time, I was 10-foot tall and bulletproof. Oh, but I woke up and said, whoa, life? I like life. Eternal life sounds pretty good. Spiritual life sounds pretty good. Immortal? Gonna live forever? Yes, the promise of life in Christ Jesus, that Christ, by what He did, He abolished death. You say, yeah, but these Christians still die. You don't understand. They just leave this body.
Amen.
Let me tell you what this book tells you. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
You really saved? You really saved? Listen, that death experience is going to be the greatest thing you've ever felt. You're going to lay down and you're going to be in pain, and then all of a sudden you're going to wake up, and who are you going to meet? Jesus.
Amen.
That's the truth. That's the promise. What is it? It's a promise. It's a promise of life in Christ Jesus, who hath abolished death. I love that. I love that phrase. Just abolished death. Death, you don't have any power anymore.
Amen.
And brought life and immortality. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to live forever. Yes, I am. I'm going to live forever with God. Now, I don't know whether it begins today or tomorrow or 10 years or 20 years from now. I don't have a clue. We have some of these people in these actuary tables that are making tremendous claims on how long this generation is going to live. Well, leaving God out of the picture, that's probably true. But if God decides to enter the picture and the book of Revelation starts working, that 7-year period of time begins to click off, you're going to see a population, not explosion, diminished. Something terrible, tragic. But let me tell you something. I'm never going to die.
Amen.
Are you saved? You're never going to die. You don't have to fear death anymore. Oh, I fear the pain. Don't get me wrong. I do not have an ounce of martyr's blood in me. I do not want to suffer. Suicide would be tempting in certain situations. I understand some people in their situations. But faith would trust God to do whatever He wanted to do with you, however He did it. You walk by faith. But I don't fear death. And if you're a believer here today, you shouldn't fear death either. Why? You're going to be in the presence of the Lord with immortal life forever. Isn't that beautiful? That is absolutely beautiful to me. He hath abolished death and brought to light immortality. I think that's just lovely. Now look at verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Now just take a look. I guess it was 2 weeks ago. I took you to the 23rd Psalm. And I showed you David's commitment of faith in that psalm. Really was a blessing to me. I want you to look at Paul's statement of faith in this verse right here. I am not ashamed. He's in jail. He's a prisoner of the Roman government. He said, I'm not ashamed. Are you ashamed of what you are? Are you ashamed where you belong? Are you ashamed what you do? Paul said, I'm not ashamed. I like that. And he said, I know. Do you think or do you know? Paul said, I know. What do you know, Paul? I know whom I believed in. I know who I believed in. Now, I know some people, if they told me the sun was shining, I'd doubt them. If they told me it's raining outside, I'd doubt them. I just don't believe a thing they say. I look at the ads on television and I sit there scoffing, laughing, making fun. Somebody gonna believe them? Yeah, there's a sucker born every minute. They were talking down here, they're selling cars 75% off. You're going to sell a new car 75% off? That might get you on the lot, man, if you believed them, but I don't think I believe them. No. You know better than that. 100% guarantee. You hear about people getting scammed every day of their life. Oh no, there's some people I don't believe, but there's some people I believe. There's some people I believe. They tell me something, I just take it. I go to the bank with it. I believe it. Well, here's what I believe. I believe this Bible. And Paul said, I know whom I believe. He's talking about Jesus. Paul had confronted Jesus on the Damascus Road. He said he'd seen him resurrected. He changed him that day, and he changed him forever. And now here he is a prisoner of Rome, and he can say to Timothy, I'm not ashamed of where I am. I'm not ashamed of what got me here. I'm not ashamed of the testimony of my Lord, because I know whom I believe. I know whom I'm putting my trust in. He cannot lie. He cannot lie. And notice he said, I have believed. Simple statement. I have believed. Are you a believer or a doubter in here this morning? When you read the Bible, you say, oh, no, that couldn't be. No, that couldn't be. Or do you say, wow. Yeah, wow. Good. Boy, that's good. Let me read that again. That's good. I have believed. I am persuaded. That's what the construction. I have believed and am persuaded. So I am persuaded. Not only have I believed, I am persuaded. What are you persuaded of this morning? Paul was persuaded. Are you persuaded? Or are you sort of half in and half out? Too many Christians are half in and half out. Too many Christians are half spiritual and half worldly. Too many Christians halfway want to serve the Lord and halfway want to go as far as they can towards sin. He said, I am persuaded. And then notice he says, I have committed unto him. What in your life this morning have you committed? Have you committed your eternity? That's what most of us when we get saved we think about. I have committed my eternal life. I have committed my insurance policy against the fires of hell. I have committed my eternity to him. How about I've committed my life to him? How about I've committed my pocketbook to him? How about I've committed my testimony to him? The words of my mouth, I have committed. I mean, he makes several statements right here. He said, I'm not ashamed. I know whom I believe. I have believed. I am persuaded. And I am committed. Man, is that a positive statement? Is your Christianity that positive? It ought to be. Amen. Now let's go back and look at this verse in a little different way. I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm not ashamed. I'm sitting here waiting for death or release, whatever God wants to do with me. But I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded he's able. I've come to that place in my life. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. And you know what I believe? I know whom I believed. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I am trusting God, and I'm trusting his word. And you know what I'm sure of? He's able to do what he promised to do. Promise of life? I'm going to live. Promise no hell? Not going to be any hell. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise. I take it. That's a promise you can take. Here's a man down to the end of his life, somewhere around maybe 30 years old or so, 35. He comes across Jesus Christ. His whole life, it just takes a 180, completely turns around for this encounter with Jesus Christ. And now with all his training and all his talent and all his expertise, he's on the side of the Lord. You realize most of the preachers of the gospel were very uneducated men. They weren't the rich and the upright and the big and the powerful. But this is one man that's an exception. This man had the equivalent of a master's degree or doctor's degree in his day, when it was very, very rare. His daddy was a rich man, and he was trained at the feet of the best teachers of the land. He was an accomplished writer. Read what he wrote, and read what others wrote. The difference in the style and the writing is just tremendous. This is an educated man. A powerful man, a confident man. And God just turns him around and puts him with the downtrodden. Puts him with the ignorant clodhoppers. Puts him with that despised band of Christians. And man, does he run. You know what? God can do the same for you. He can do it today. There was a day I was lost, and the next day I was saved. There was a day when I was on the road to hell, and the next day I was on the road to heaven. There was a day when I thought I was king of my life, and then the next day Jesus was king of my life. Amen. There was a day when I was on the road to hell, and the only thing that separated me from the fires of hell was the beating of my heart. And there was a day when the only thing separates me from heaven is the beating of my heart, the blessing of God. Amen. I know whom I believed, and I'm not ashamed. Amen. I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded. What am I persuaded? I'm persuaded He can save anybody that calls upon Him. I'm persuaded of that. I'm persuaded He can save an old man 72. The oldest person I ever led to the Lord was a woman of 85. But I've had several in their 70s. But you know what? You get past 25 without calling on the Lord, and your chances go whew, way down. You get hardened. You look at all the sin. You look at the corruption in the church. You look at the corruption in politics. You look at all these things like this. You get to where you don't believe anybody or anything. But I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded what I've placed in His hands, He's able to keep. Now, I started with my soul. I placed my soul in His hands. Oh, well, Lord, save my soul. And then I thought about it. I've thought about it over the years. If He can't save it, I don't stand a chance anyway. Can I go back to the old way? Good little boys go to heaven and bad little boys go to hell? Who's going to make it that way? Not even the good little boy who thinks he's a good little boy. And the sweet little girl that thinks she's a sweet little girl. We are so fooled. In our sweetness, we're so selfish. In our sweetness, we're so proud. In our sweetness, we deny God. I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded He's able. He's able to keep my soul for all eternity. I'm persuaded this book is right, and I'm going to live forever with God. I'm persuaded my sins are gone. I'm persuaded they're buried in the depths of the sea to be remembered against me no more. I'm persuaded that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh and the only Savior of the world. I have believed, and I am persuaded there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I am persuaded that there is just one mediator between God and men. It's the man Christ Jesus. My friend, if you're here without Jesus, trust Him today. If you're here and you happen to be lost and you just wandered in here, whatever, or you've been in this church for years and you've never really been saved, trust the Lord today. And my Christian friend, let's try to walk with a little more faith and a little less fear. In every area of our life. Every area of our life. What do you have to be afraid of, really? Amen. Faith casts out fear. It really does. That's the action of faith. You trust God. You believe His Word. And God gives you a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. And I can't think of a better blessing in your life. Let's stand and sing number 249.